Hello and welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24. I'm Bill Lutie. All cities have areas that locals love for their food and drink offerings. In this series, we get to know these places. This week, we head to Lisbon, where Príncipe Real is fast becoming Portugal's hub for new and interesting restaurants. Our very own Marcus Hippie spent the day with Monocle's Lisbon correspondent, Trish Lorenz.
We're now in Príncipe Real, which is one of Lisbon's premier residential and shopping areas, and it's recently become a hub for new and interesting restaurants. It's always had traditional restaurants, but quite a few chefs are choosing this location for their restaurants because we have some great buildings here, former palaces which have been converted to shopping spaces and restaurant spaces, and we also have some good local retailers.
And actually, we can escape the traffic by going to one of these retail places you mentioned. What is this location we are going to go into and see now?
So this is A Carioca, which is a store that specializes in teas and particularly coffees from Portugal's former colonies in Africa and South America and places like Timor.
It's a really beautiful shop, by the way. It looks like it's been here for quite some time.
It's been here for 81 years, since the 1930s, and the interior is amazing. And I love the scent that you get when you walk in of all the coffees that they've been grinding and that they're storing here like this.
What impresses you about this place the most?
I love the fact that all of the coffees come from the former, well, not all, but almost all of them come from the former colonies. So you get places from Africa, such as São Tomé Príncipe and also Cabo Verde, and then also from Timor, which was Portuguese. So there's a really long history and a connection between these countries and Portugal, and that we can still buy specific coffees from there is great.
So after a few years in Lisbon, has your taste in coffee changed, by the way, at all?
I definitely drink a lot more, and I drink more espressos too, which I never used to, but it's the way they drink here. Un pica.
So this place is called A Carioca. Do you have an idea where we could go next?
So let's go somewhere new after trying this place, which is quite old, which is a restaurant from Kiko Martins called A Cevicheria.
Do you think Lisbon is changing gradually? Do you think there's going to be new areas that, you know, even visitors are going to be discovering in the future?
I think so. We're having such an influx of visitors. I think we had 10 million tourists to Lisbon alone last year, which in a city of 500,000, it's a phenomenal number. So I think you're finding that things are pushing out. At the moment, and areas like Belém, for example, where the new MAP Museum has opened, are seeing really a number of restaurants and bars opening around there as well. And I think that's an area to watch. And then on the opposite side of the city, in the east, there's an area called Marvila, which is kind of the hip, hackney area of Lisbon. And there's some very nice, more experimental things happening there. There's Lisbon's first brewery, first sort of small brewery called Dois Corvos, which means two crows, which is the symbol of Lisbon, and they make amazing beer and they have a very nice bar there. So there are places coming which I think tourists will start to discover.
And what about this area, Príncipe Real? How would you describe the people who spend their days here and visit this area, maybe even live here?
Príncipe Real is a little bit like the Notting Hill of Lisbon. It's a little bit posh, but it's a little bit boho. It used to be a very regal area. A lot of the buildings are large and there are palaces which are residential palaces, so it's quite moneyed, and I think that's why a lot of restaurants are opening here, because it's attracting not just tourists, because it's a central area so people walk through here, but also people from Lisbon who have the interest and the money to spend on dining out.
I like your Notting Hill comparison, but when I'm looking around I'm still wondering if we would need a few more years.
I think you do, for it to be truly. One of the charms of Lisbon really is that it's not fully clean and developed. It's still a little bit crumbling and a little bit old at heart. And, you know, until it becomes a slick city, and maybe hopefully it never become too much of a slick city and lose that charm.
And one thing I'm always wondering when I'm walking around this part of Lisbon is anyone talking about getting rid of any of these cars?
Unfortunately, no. There is a really, really car-centered culture in Portugal of total dependence on the car. Public transport is terribly underfunded. And people, I guess partly because of geography, it's very hilly. People don't really walk, and there's no provision made for pedestrians. Look at the tiny little pavements we're walking along. And it's a thing that I think politicians here are far behind on in comparison to the rest of the world.
Well, for example, here, this pedestrian road has been basically closed because of some kind of renovation work taking place in a building, and we are walking On the runway.
On the cobbled streets in front of taxis and cars and buses. Exactly. There is no priority given to pedestrians here whatsoever, or to people using public transport.
By the way, I heard there is a public bike scheme now.
There is, and actually it's great that we're going to have it. It's actually with electric bikes too, so the hills will be a bit more conquerable. And they're very popular, particularly along the riverfront.
So here we are now, so this place.
So here we are at our Servicheria, which is a Kiko Martins venue. It's quite a small restaurant, but it's supremely popular. And one of the things I think that really attracts people to it is that the menu is, as the name suggests, focused around ceviche, but it's not trying to be Peruvian at all. It's very much ceviche with the Portuguese flavor, and all the ingredients, all the seafood and fish is from the Atlantic here near Portugal. It's something quite different for Lisbon, but I like it because it's using Portuguese ingredients and Portuguese techniques and applying it in a different way.
Let's look at the menu quickly, what we have over here. It's true, a lot of ceviche stuff going on.
There really is a lot of ceviche. All of the ceviche is very nice. The ceviche Portuguese, for example, uses bacalhau, which is a salted codfish, and octopus, which is one of the most common ingredients in Portugal, along with these beans called tremoços, lupin beans in English. So this is a super, super Portuguese dish in terms of its ingredients, but it's a ceviche. So another one of the meals on here that I really like is the actual octopus, and this is a barbecued octopus. This is not a ceviche. It's roasted with black mashed potato. And again, this is a really traditional Portuguese dish, roasted octopus. But the way it's presented here, it's really unusual, beautifully plated, looks great and tastes different. And I think that's the next step for Portuguese cuisine, really, is to use the traditional dishes in a more contemporary way.
What is the Portuguese dining culture like, by the way? I wonder what time you go for dinner over here and what time you finish.
It's not as late as Spain, but it's later than in Britain, for example. Normally people meet around 8, have a drink, and probably finish around 11. Kitchens stay open till midnight without any problem at all.
And then if you want to have a drink after the dinner, that shouldn't be too hard either.
That's definitely not too hard. It's the done thing. Most of the bars in the party zone, Bairro Alto, don't really get busy until midnight. And they close around 3. And then there's another area which closes around 4 or 6, depending on what day it is.
We're heading for a coffee next, but actually the route to that place is really beautiful. This park, what is it?
This is the hub of Príncipe Real, Príncipe Real Gardens, and I think it's one of the reasons the area has always been so popular with local people too. It's a really pretty garden space right in the centre of this quite posh suburb. It has 2 or 3 little cafes where you can sit outside, and it also hosts a weekly farmer's market on a Saturday when the whole garden is filled with stalls with local producers and local smallholders.
And it's lovely to escape the traffic, by the way.
It's really nice. And the heat, the sun, right? To be in the shade, it's nice too. I don't know how to explain it, but there's an enormous covered pergola here.
So we were walking through this covered area and I realised it was all thanks to one tree.
One huge tree which they've trained out over this, I don't know, the diameter must be like 20 metres of pergola with covered by tree and the benches underneath. It's beautiful.
So then time for a coffee or tea break. It seems that the coffee culture is doing really well in Portugal.
There is a really strong coffee culture here. There always has been. And traditionally, Portuguese will pop into a place for a coffee at least 3 or 4 times a day. And they drink it black and short. And it's called a bica. And they drink plenty of them.
And there's also a rich Portuguese language for all possible coffee types you can imagine.
There really is. You have to know exactly what you want. And then there's a name for it, whether a small coffee with a little bit of milk is called a pingado. And if you want a black coffee, like an American style, it's called a batinado. And if you want a more milky coffee, it's called a mare de leite. There's a name for every possible combination of coffee and milk you want.
And how's it going with tea over here then?
Yes, actually, there's a really strong tea culture here too. The Portuguese say, and I think it's historically true, that Catherine of Bragança, their queen, introduced tea to England because the Portuguese were the first to open trade routes with the East, India and Ceylon and places like that. And also they grow tea in the Azores. It's the only place in Europe, nominally in Europe, that grows tea. So there's actually a very strong tea culture here.
So after that coffee, just finally what I was wondering, now that we're walking around this beautiful area, how do you see the future, not just of this area necessarily, of this neighbourhood, but also of Lisbon or Portugal more widely?
I think we're in a really great place as a country and in food-wise as well. There's a real sort of growing sense of pride, not in a horrible nationalistic way, but in a genuine fondness for the country internally in the country since the winning Eurovision and the European Football Championships. I think that's reflected in how people feel about cuisine too, that they're suddenly celebratory of all the great food that they have here and the way they prepare it. I think too the growing influx of international visitors and people who are living here is really a positive thing, bringing different types of food traditions with them and also broadening how the kinds of food offering that we're seeing here, particularly Asian, which was really underrepresented and we're now getting. So that it's a really a nice and exciting time to be living in Portugal from a food perspective and more broadly.
That was our very own Marcus Hippie reporting from Lisbon's Príncipe Real with Trish Lorenz. This has been episode 55 of Food Neighbourhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday from 1900 London time. I'm Bill Luthi. Thanks for listening and bye for now.